This is Victory House.
So tonight, briefly, I want to talk about not impossible. Can you echo it loud? Say, not impossible. Say, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. This scripture, this passage, I've not been able to get over it for a few days. I've just been somehow coming back here. And I think God has something for us here. Genesis 18, I'll read from verse 9. Genesis 18, reading from verse 9. The Bible says, "And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto you according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah your wife shall have a son." Somebody will get what God has promised. It does not matter how late it is. God is still saying the same thing he has said before. That very thing he had promised earlier on is still yours for grab. Will you say amen to that? He said, "Sarah, your son will have a son. And Sarah had it in the tent, which was behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age." So the Bible put context to this prophecy that God was saying again, that understand the impossibility of this prophecy or this word of God. It's pretty much hard to make it happen because in the natural, time was gone. In the natural, it was impossible. But thanks be to God that will deal with a God that does not only consider the natural things, that is not only bounded by natural circumstances, that can get out of the natural and step into the supernatural and make the natural become supernatural. Amen? Amen. So the Bible said, and Sarah and her husband were very old, and he ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Let's move on. 13, right? And the Lord said unto Abraham, what's going on? It's 12, okay, excuse me. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being also old also." What was Sarah saying there? Sarah was saying, this thing has passed. And there are people here tonight saying, well, maybe God will do it through my children. Maybe God will do it in another, somehow. But it can't really happen for me. I have come to tell you this evening that with God, nothing shall be impossible. Verse 13, please. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which I'm old? Is it not too late? I know the question some of us ask. Is it not too late? Have things not passed me? Am I not too late? Did I not start this career too late? Did I not enter this particular profession too late? But I have come to tell you, it's not too late. Look at your neighbor, say, it's not too late. Now look at what God now asked her. And that's the question I hope will keep ringing in your ears tonight. Verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return unto you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Can I ask this question tonight? Is there anything too hard for God? Is there an answer to that? People are looking at me like, we don't know where. Is anything too hard for God? Or you know one thing, maybe Pastor E, yes, nothing is too hard for God, but this one. Is there anything too hard for God? If you believe it, say it like you believe it. Is anything too hard for God? So that's the answer. There is nothing. That thing that is hard for God has not been made. That thing that would be impossible for God does not exist. Now, so if we unpack this story step by step, real quick, in verse 10, we see that God was coming back to Abraham. And if you were here on Sunday, I was talking about Abraham too a little bit from Genesis chapter 12, when God had told Abraham to go, which was the first injunction God gave to Abraham, you know, leave your country and all of that kind of thing. And in that instruction, God told him, I will make you a father of many nations. I will make you a blessing. I will make your name great. So in that instruction, earlier instruction, which you can think of like at the beginning of the year, there was a word of the Lord to Abraham. And the word of the Lord was that I was going to give you a child. Now, Abraham was hearing the same thing again. This same word of the Lord was coming back to him. Because you see, there is something about prophecy. Prophecy will happen when you keep it in your ears. You enforce what God has said when you don't forget about it. One of the scriptures I love most when I read the Gospels, I like the fact where when I read, if you read Luke chapter 1, and read how Mary responded to what God said. Or what the angel said. Look at how Mary responded. Look at how Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, responded. The Bible said, the two of them said similar things. The two of them said things like, this is far-fetched. This is like too good to be true. This is probably not going to happen. But you see, the difference in them was that Mary did not just say that and then leave it there. Mary kept those things in her heart. In fact, that's why you see Mary in John chapter 2, when there was no wine in Cana of Galilee, that Mary did not need to figure out what will happen. She knew that this is her son. And the Bible said that was the first miracle that Jesus was going to do. But the Bible said Mary knew that her son was going to do something or was able to do something. Because Mary did not forget all the things that the angel said. Mary kept it in her heart. That's why she was able to say in Luke chapter 1 and verse 37, it says, well, I mean, that's why the angel was able to tell it to her, because the angel understood that she understands the dynamics of the word of God, that with God, nothing shall be impossible, because she knows how to keep it. So, ladies and gentlemen, you need to know how to keep what God has said. You need to keep it. You need to keep it before your eyes. You need to remind yourself. You need to find a way to make sure that you don't forget about it. And that's why we gather here together to pray and to declare what God has said will happen. Because many times what God has said will not be left to automatic. If you read the book of Daniel chapter 9, Daniel chapter 9 and verse 2, the Bible said, Daniel said, I, Daniel, understood by books. By consulting the things that have been said before, I understood that the captivity of the people of God should be this long. And as at that time, there was nothing to show that the people of God were going to leave. Remember also, God had prophesied when he was telling Jacob about what was going to happen to his children. He had said something about the fact that his children were going to dwell in this foreign land. They were going to stay 400 years. But after 400 years, they were still there. Even though God has said it. So there are times, ladies and gentlemen, if God says a thing, if you don't cooperate with what God has said, either by saying it again to yourself so that you hear it again and again, or either by listening to it one way or the other, you will find out that sometimes you will delay the prophecy. I mean, so the Bible said, Daniel consulted the word of God. Daniel read. Daniel reminded himself of the prophecy. And that was what was happening to Abraham here. That's why Psalm 62 verse 11 says, God has spoken once, but me, I heard him more than once. Because once is not enough. Many people leave it at once. Oh, if God has said it to happen. No, you have to stay with it. You have to hold on to it. You have to wage a good warfare with it. Because when God says anything, that is your tool to take back to him. Because God answers his own prayer. God does his own agenda. If God has revealed an agenda to you one way or the other, whether from his word or by an express word to you, that is the agenda you throw back up to heaven. And say, God, this is what you said. Fulfill your word. Make your word to come to pass. I declare concerning somebody, what God said over you is coming to pass. What you believed him for, that he was saying to you at the beginning of this year, is still coming to pass in the name of Jesus. And in verse 11, the Bible said, it has ceased to be with her, according to the manner of women. Has anything stopped to be the way it should be for you? Is anything against you? Is age not on your side? Are finances not on your side? Is the policy or the law of the land not on your side? Because many of the times, there are things in the natural that are against what God has said. There are things in the natural that look at what God has said and wants to prove the word of God to be non-effect. It wants to invalidate the word of God. But I have come to tell you, it does not matter what is against you. It does not matter who is against you. If the word of God has said it, if God has said it and you have taken it from his word and you know it is yours, I am telling you, it will come to pass in the name of Jesus. So the natural can be against you. You will not be the first person. Because many of the times, the devil wants to make you feel like this is special. You know, it's his MO. He always comes, he puts, sometimes when you see people depressed and tired and frustrated and don't want to move on in life, they have come to a conclusion that what they are going through is very unique. It may have some level of uniqueness, but can I tell you the truth? The devil has been the same devil, and there are no new tricks in his books. It's the same old tricks, he packages in different ways. So he has done it to other people before. So he will want to come to you and convince you that where you are now is the worst thing ever. You know, if there's anything like that. Where you are, I mean, it couldn't be badder than this. You know, if there are words like that. So he convinces you, he wants you to get to that place because he understands that the more he says that and the more you believe that, you slow down the process of God. You slow down the process of God. You now start looking at statistics. You now start looking at the numbers. You now start considering the natural. You now start looking at the things that you see. And you understand that from scriptures that we don't walk by what we see, because what we see is temporal. It doesn't matter what the symptom is. It is temporal. For the things which we do not see, they are eternal. And the eternal controls the temporal. So if it is a situation in the physical, I know it is temporal. But if I can focus on the eternal word of God that he said in his written word, or he said expressly to me through a man of God, or I heard him by myself, I know that this eternal word will make sure that this temporal thing will become invalidated. I declare over the temporal things in your life, situations are legal in nature, are financial in nature, are medical in nature. I declare that the eternal word of God will superimpose itself on them and invalidate them in the name of Jesus. Amen. The Bible said it has ceased to be with her according to the manner of men, women. There was no hope in the natural. Oh yes, we get to places where in the natural there is no hope. There is nothing you can hold on into the natural. But you can still hold on to this God. You can hold on to him. Because God can defy logic. God can defy, he can defy science. God can defy every known expert. Economists can be wrong where God is concerned. Even people that have spoken concerning you about your capacity, they can be wrong. God can turn their words against themselves. I was listening to the general overseer before I came here. They were having Festival of Life in Germany. I was particularly interested because it is Germany. Amen. Some of you don't understand. Some of us are Germans. Amen. So I was listening. Then he said this story. He said there was this time that he went for an exam, a particular subject that he knows so well. And he got there. There was 8 questions, answer 5. The first question, he looked at it, no idea. The second one, what's going on here? No idea. He read all the 8 questions, no idea. How many people have been there before? It's as if everything you read just, you know, sometimes when people are reading and studying for exam, they, you know, back, I don't know if people still do it. Sometimes you'll be quiet because you don't want it to leak. Because everything that you have put, if you just talk too much now, some of it will just, maybe somehow those things leaked. So, Daddy G said he was there, sitting down there, and he had told himself that, I think I'm going to fail this course. Let me stand up. He said as he wanted to stand up, he just felt like a hand was holding him down, not to stand up. That, stay, wait. So he said he waited. After a few minutes, he looked at the question again. And he looked at the first question. He said, ah, I know this one. He looked at the second question. Oh, this is not too hard. This third, fourth. Long story short, he did the eighth question. And at the end of the answer sheet, he put on the, he was supposed to answer any five. And he put there, told the examiner, grade any five. He grade any five because God can change situation. I declare concerning somebody, what has been bad, what has been against you is turning around for your good. In the name of Jesus. So it has ceased to be with her according to the manner of women. But God knows how to bring the things that are stopped. When people say it has stopped, he will put it as pause and then continue it. When they put a full period there or a full stop, God will turn into a comma and then continue the sentence. I want to tell somebody the sentence is not complete. God is about to rewrite the story. Somebody needed to say a bigger amen. So it has ceased to be with her according to the manner of women. The natural was against her. And there are people listening to me tonight that the natural may be against you. But I have come to introduce you to the God that created even the natural and has power over the natural. He controls the natural. It does not matter what the natural is. It doesn't even matter what statistics say. It doesn't matter what the experts say. Experts can be wrong. The experts told Noah that this ark will not work. And the ark was there 20-something days. The experts said that Titanic cannot sink. And Titanic did not last. Amen? Experts can be what? And so sometimes when you've gotten a verdict from a teacher, from a doctor, I am not saying that you should disrespect people. I am not saying that you should think that people that went to school wasted their time. Yeah, they did. They learned something. We have some doctors here. We celebrate your work. We are glad about what you are doing, and we pray for you all the time. But you people can be wrong. Amen? Can you say experts can be wrong? Lawyers can be wrong. I remember several years ago, we had a legal case. And a lawyer, before he even started, he was telling me, he said, I think there's going to be a problem. I said, what's your issue? The reason we want to pay a lawyer is so that you fix the problem. He said, I think there's going to be a problem. Because this is, I said, see. Look, this thing is going to work. I just need a lawyer to help with it. If you believe you will do it, we will give you. If you do believe you, say, okay, let's just put it in. So we put the documentation in, and then they came back to us. They said, well, we are not going to approve it. Da, 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 da. Long story. And the lawyer came back. I said, did I not tell you? I was angry. I was like, are you kidding me? I know you told me. Your job is to prove that this thing is not possible. We reverse it. Long story short, we had to exchange the lawyer. Because experts can be wrong. And we went to another person. The person said, well, I'm not 100% sure. I mean, you have some level of belief that it is possible. I just want small iota of it is possible. And then we'll take it in because God wants to do this thing. And the second person did it and it worked. You know what I did? When it happened, when the second lawyer did it and it worked, I sent it to the first lawyer. It works. Lawyers can be wrong. Can somebody say experts can be wrong? I'm not saying that the experts here should continue what they are doing. All right. So in verse 12, the Bible says Sarah laughed. Sarah laughed. Like I've been talking now, some people are laughing inside them. You know that laughter of mockery? Like, really, that one? I've forgotten about that part. I've forgotten about that issue. That issue is a concluded thing. This is how it will be. Some people will even say things like, it is my cross. No, there was only one cross that we needed. And Jesus carried that cross. You don't need to be carrying those kind of crosses. The cross you should carry is the one of following him. Amen to that. Because some people they rewrite the scripture and say, I'm carrying my cross. Which cross are you carrying? Jesus carried the cross for you. The cross you should carry is to follow him. He has told you to come unto him, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He said, my yoke. So it's his own yoke that you should be using. And his yoke is, come unto me. When you have come unto him, you will not have that cross of sickness. You will not have that cross of lack. You will not have those other crosses that other people have put upon you. You will be carrying Jesus. Amen.
It's what Jesus has that you have. And Jesus doesn't have any cross again. That cross is empty. There's nobody on that cross. Even before he rose up, they took him down from that cross. Amen? So that cross is not, it has served its purpose. And that's it. You don't have to carry another cross. Tell somebody, say, I am not carrying any cross of shame, of sickness, of disappointment in the name of Jesus. So Sarah laughed. But I like the fact that it was not only one type of laughter that Sarah experienced in this story. There was that laughter of too good to be true. But thanks be to God that after the laughter of too good to be true, there was the laughter of look what the Lord have done. I declare concerning somebody listening to me, the laughter of too good to be true will turn to the laughter of see what the Lord has done. If you believe it, you say a bigger amen. Because the laughter of mockery, where people are laughing at you and saying, there they go again, all this church thing. It's not working. Come and join us. We are not praying to any God. We are just here, but you are not different from us. There's nothing going to church has done for you. I remember several years ago, I used to have a Chinese friend. And, you know, we had a business together. Once in a while, he would come with me to church. He used to just look around and be wondering that these people have been hypnotized. When we finish, you say, are you people okay? He said, look at that, your pastor. That guy is just hypnotizing you people. You know what he was saying? And what he was trying to say to me is that if what you they are telling you in that place is true, why are you like this? Why are we opening computers together? You know, sometimes we are opening computers 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m. We're still trying to fix a computer, and all the money of that old a.m. thing that we are doing is just $30, $25, two of us. So the guy is always like, I think you should go and do something else. This old church stuff is not working. But is it not working now? Can somebody say amen to that? So I declare concerning somebody listening to me, the laughter of it is too good to be true will give way to the laughter of see what the Lord has done in the name of Jesus. So our laughter was changed. There was a switch in our laughter. And I'm believing that that's what will happen to somebody after tonight in the name of Jesus. The people that have laughed at you will come and laugh with you. People that have mocked you will come and celebrate God with you. People that have watched you and say, look, there they go again. They will come and say, we've not seen this kind of God before. They will help you to sing. Because you can imagine what happened to Sarah after that. Because remember that Sarah changed her name. So it wasn't only Sarah that would have been laughing. Other people that would have been like, okay, now this is madness to the nth level. Okay, we understand that she didn't have a child, but that matter has now got into her head. Look at what she has now done. She has said that her name should not be Sarai. They should not be calling her Sarah to signify that I have many children. This is now madness. This is now madness. This person is now mad. And they sometimes when they see her, and then she say, hey, my friend, Sarah is here. They will say, see, this mad woman is back here. They will laugh at her. But those same people that laughed at her, when Isaac came, Isaac had to be called laughter. I declare concerning you tonight, your laughter is coming. Your Isaac is coming. Those who saw you before will see your Isaac with you. In the name of Jesus. So I know some people here don't need children. Some people may need, and so take it to, some people need ideas. Ideas. Like the message I said I was listening to of the general overseer earlier today. He was talking about the fact that people can be pregnant with ideas. Ideas can be inside. And ladies and gentlemen, what can change your life can just be one idea. One single idea. It can completely turn your life roundabout. It was it not an idea that changed the life of Joseph? One day, just one day. He had interpreted the dream and he now gave them an idea. Why doesn't Pharaoh find a man who will be able to make sure that the 7 years of plenty will be able to accommodate and be able to make sure that the 7 years of famine will not consume the people? What an idea. The idea saved the whole nation. It didn't even save the whole nation. It saved the world. I'm declaring before to you tonight that in the name of Jesus, your Isaac, your idea, that thing that you are pregnant with, that thing that needs to come to the world, that's your laughter. I command it to come forth in the name of Jesus. So, Sarah laughed. But thank God that was not the only laughter. was not laughter of mockery that ended the story. The laughter of see what the Lord has done showed up later. And that's your story too. Because God is the God that changes impossible to possible. In verse 14, the Bible said, God was not asking her. Go to verse 13, please. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child which I am old? God was saying, look, Sarah is asking the wrong question. Just like some people here are asking the wrong question. They are complaining, they are whining, they are putting the wrong question forward. They are asking the wrong question, because when it comes to God, it is never too late. When it comes to God, there is no impossible case. There is no impossible case. Every case is possible with God. It's only impossible people. And many other times, even in scriptures, the only people God couldn't do anything about were not impossible cases, but were impossible people. The people themselves, they made themselves the stumbling block. They said, no, God will not do it. Those are the people God couldn't do anything with. It was the impossible people that couldn't enter the promised land. It wasn't the impossibility of the case. Because the promised land as a scenario and as a circumstance and as a situation by itself in the natural was an impossible task. For a nation that was leaving Egypt, they were slaves. They were not trained people. They were not trained to do army combatant. They were not trained to take nations. So for that nation now to be seeing a nation that had giants, they couldn't do that in the natural. So it was an impossible case. But that was not what didn't make them enter the promised land. It was the impossible people. Because the people said, we are not able. We will not be able to go into that land. It is not possible for us to go there. Even when God said it was possible, they said, no, it's not possible. In fact, they wanted to stone Moses. No, it's not possible. Joshua and Caleb told them, keep quiet. It is possible. No, it's not possible. And that's how some people are saying today. They say, it's not possible. It's not America. I've been here for 10 years. I have read it on the internet. Is the internet God? I read it. I Googled it. And so what? Siri told me. Alexa told me. And so what? A lawyer said so. A doctor Swans. And so what? Who told you they can't lie? No, they didn't mean to lie, but that's not the truth. That's not the word of God. The word of God can invalidate it. And I declare over anything that is against the word of God that has been spoken over you, I invalidate it. I say I invalidate it in the name of Jesus. So verse 13, the Bible said she was questioning God, rationalizing and giving complaints and explaining things away and excusing herself like many of us do. You excuse yourself from what God can do. You excuse yourself from miracles. You put logic there. You say, even if God were to do a miracle, how will it happen so soon? How will it happen so fast? How can? And that's how people limit God. You know, I've told you the story many times here. One day that I ran into the general overseer, I was supposed to be coming to the United States, but I did not have money. So I ran into him. I was very excited. This is my opportunity. God is going to do it now. Amen. And then I told him about my plight. He said, okay, when you are going, let me know. I was excited. Maybe he will say, when you are going, let me know. And let me know the amount. I will send it to you. He just left it and let me know. And then said, I will give you a bank statement. Just the statement. You go and show it to them. But before I left his presence, he said, but before you go, God will provide the money. And I started rationalizing. Even before I said amen, I'm not even sure I said amen. Because I'm like, well, I didn't ask you to praise her. And so I think this is a discussion, so I may not say amen. So I just took it like that. But because it's the word of God, or the word spoken by a man of God, it carried power to do by itself. Because I started thinking in my head, if God were to even answer this prayer, my annual salary, because I was working then, is less than what is not up to what I need. So maybe I just summon courage, I go to my boss and say, give me my annual salary, like the prodigal son. Give me all that belongeth unto me. All that is due to me. And let me go. It will not be enough. And this is January. I'm supposed to go in June. But Logic is not all there is in life. There is God, ladies and gentlemen. And God is a God of miracle. He doesn't need all the logic things. Like, because God defied logic. The way God sorted that issue, financial issue out, was completely out of my salary. I didn't have to touch any salary because how much is the salary in the first place? I mean, before you save, you will buy gas, you eat. And in those days, we're bachelors. We didn't used to cook. God help us. We're eating everything. We're eating with 10 fingers. But God made a way because a man of God spoke. I'm speaking tonight concerning somebody. That thing that you are rationalizing and thinking, how can this be? I declare it possible in the name of Jesus. And finally, in verse 14, God stepped out and said, is there anything too hard for me to do? You know, God didn't answer that question. You answered it here. You said nothing. You said nothing, right? But there are sometimes it seems there is something hard for God to do. When the people become the impossibility themselves, it's usually difficult for God to work with you. When you stand in the way of God, when you declare that you now do things to sabotage the effort of God, when you do things to make what God wants to do, to make it null and void, when you say it's not possible, when you stand there and say, no. Because some people, they'll be arguing as if the impossibility is what they want. You want it to happen. It's just that you think that in the natural, it's hard to happen. And they will now, because the natural is so real to them, they now so much, they can even fight the people that are trying to provide solutions. I tell you, this is how it has to be. Like, I thought the solution is what you want. Why are you now fighting and standing and being an advocate for the problem? Because that's how some of us do. We say the problem. We become so conversant with the problem. We become so used to the problem. We define it so much that it seems as if God is too little to solve that problem. We make the mountain bigger than our God. And the way you say it is the way it will happen to you. God was asking Sarah, is there anything too hard for Sarah? Sarah did not answer that question. But we read something in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 11. Hebrews 11:11. The Bible says, Sarah herself received strength. Sarah became I am possible kind of person. Because impossibility can become I am possible. You can change it from the word, you can put an apostrophe between I and M to make impossibility I am possible. And many of the time, it is the person involved in this impossible situation that needs to receive strength from the word of God, that needs to rehear the word of God that God has declared before, and believe it and take it and personalize it and see that God is able to do it. Because if the person doesn't do that, sometimes what God has said will look like it's not possible. Not because it is impossible. God asks that question, is anything too impossible? No, nothing. But people can make things impossible for God.